Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
I'm presenting a verse-by-verse study through Ephesians, and in the previous message I was introducing Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, where it says that there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. And I was introducing an illustration, that of a circle, to say that there is a line that defines a circle, that it's the perimeter of the circle, and that we can call the line the point when a person gets saved. That those who are unsaved, the unbelievers, can be outside of the perimeter of the circle. And those who are saved can be described as those who have crossed the line and are in the perimeter of the circle. And I was using this as an illustration just to define some boundaries between the unbelievers and the believers. And of course, God is at the center of this circle. He is the center of the universe, all of those who are within the circle and all of those who are outside of the boundaries that are defined by the line that establishes the perimeter of the circle. In the previous message, I was explaining that most of the people who are saved, who are considered to be the body of Christ, those who believe in Jesus, most of these people are close to the perimeter of this circle. They are inside the line of the circle, of the perimeter, but they are really close to it. They are all near the perimeter of the circle, and that we would see a band of great density of many people who are far away from the center. They are far away from God. They are closer than the unbeliever, of course, but they are still far away. And that this is a way of understanding that most of the people who are Christians, they are not close to God, because to be close to God would require them to know him more. And it turns out that most people just do not know him very well. This, of course, is understandable when a person first gets saved. When they first get saved, they believe the gospel. They are just getting to know their God a little bit. So they're not going to be very close to him. You should expect that. And it turns out that a lot of people do not grow and mature very much in their faith as their years go by, and so they don't really get any closer to him. It is unusual to find a person who really puts in a lot of their effort, a lot of their time, a lot of their life into discovering more about who their God is, discovering the truths that he has revealed in order to let go of a lot of things that people believe that simply are not true. And so I move forward from there, and I explained that people get closer to God as they get closer to understanding the truth of who he is and what he has revealed. And I used some examples. I described the subject of forgiveness, that if a person discovers that they really have been completely forgiven and that God no longer holds their sins against them anymore, then they will draw closer to God, because this is a truth that he has revealed that will enable them to draw closer to him on the basis of sober-minded reality concerning the topic of sin and forgiveness. And yet at the same time, there are many people who still struggle with the topic of forgiveness. If you just consider the number of people who identify themselves as Christians who are relentlessly trying to obtain forgiveness, that would tell you that those who are no longer trying to obtain forgiveness because they rest in the truth that they have already been forgiven, those people who rest in the complete forgiveness of sins are going to be separated from those who are still struggling with the topic of forgiveness. They're going to be separated from each other as one person gets closer to God when they rest in the complete forgiveness of sins. I then explained that when a person embraces the restoration of the Holy Spirit, when they understand that this is why they were forgiven, so that they could be made spiritually alive, and that the complete forgiveness of sins is necessary for this life to be eternal, dwelling within them, then that's another step, that they move closer to their God and further away from others who do not have a very good understanding of the gospel. And I also explained that people who embrace the gospel in that context, they never go back to the struggle of sin and forgiveness. They never go back to that struggle. They move forward from there and they grow closer to God as they discover that they are free from the law, from all forms of religious law, from all systems of repentance and obedience. In order to get right with God or in order to be blessed by God, they recognize that they are free from the law because of what Jesus did for them. And this, of course, will separate them from other people who genuinely believe that the Christian life is about repentance and obedience to the commandments of God in one form or another. These people will be separated, and those who embrace freedom from the law will draw closer to God, while the others will just simply stay out there on the perimeter, far away from Him. Now, of course, those who are trying to live in the context of repentance and obedience are usually trying to obtain blessings from God, trying to get something from God, hoping that He will intervene in their lives in a way that they will be able to function better in the world that they are a part of, not realizing that He has already given to us all that we need for life and godliness as our inheritance in Christ Jesus. When a person recognizes that they are free from the law, the next step is to discover that now they have received an inheritance. And so instead of living our lives in the pursuit of blessings from God, we now live with what He has already given to us because of what He has done. Those who don't see that are going to be condemned to living a life of trying to do things for God so that He will bless them, instead of recognizing that they have already been blessed because of what He has done for us. And so that's another transition that people will often make, hopefully, in order to get closer to their God. From there, what people usually experience is an understanding of what it means to have a living God instead of a God of stone. And these are things that I introduced at the end of the previous message, and I'm just mentioning them again as topics that a person really needs to discover in order to get closer and closer to Him, because these are topics that reveal the truth of our God more and more. And these are transitions that allow us to get closer to Him, because these are the very truths that define who He is as a person. And each one requires us to embrace the previous one, to have the previous issue settled and resolved and understood in advance, so that we can understand the next layer that gets us closer and closer to the center, which is our God in this illustration. Now, the closer you get to Him as a person, the closer our relationship is with Him, the more He is going to be able to participate in our lives, and the more we are going to be able to participate in His life, because we have more of a genuine understanding of the truth of our God, and the means of communication is increased dramatically, because there is so much more that He can share with us. There is so much more that He can reveal to us. And as a result, there is so much more that He can invite us to participate in. And so the closer we get to Him, the more we are able to participate in the work of God, and the more that He is able to participate in our lives. So when it comes to the body of Christ, you become more a part of the body of Christ the closer you are to Christ. The closer you are to your God, the more you become a part of His body in this context. Being saved does make you a part of the body of Christ, but you're not going to be so much of a functional part of the body of Christ certainly not in comparison with those who know him more. If you know him more, if you are relating to him more, then you can be more of a functional part of the body of Christ, as opposed to what could be described as a dysfunctional part of the body of Christ, relatively speaking. So here in verse 4, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, when he says that there is one body of Christ, one body of our God, he is referring to those who are, of course, closer to him as being more functional in terms of what he can do with them, with what he can do with us who are closer to him in comparison with those who are out there on the perimeter of the circle, who are far away from the center of who God is. And I want you to understand this, because there is one body of Christ which is headed up by him and him alone, and that as you grow closer to him, you are going to grow closer to being more of a functional part of this body. And this is something that people don't pay attention to and have a hard time understanding, because, as I explained in the previous message, the more you grow closer to your God, the further away you are going to be from those people who are on the perimeter of this circle, who are out there closer to the line of the perimeter of this circle, who have crossed the line. They are saved. They are part of the body of Christ, but they do not know him that well. And their understanding of the truth is quite small. You're going to be further and further away from the overwhelming majority of the Christians in the Christian world. This is important to see. I'm going to say it again. The closer you get to your God, and the more you are able to be a functional part of his body, the further away you are going to get from the Christian world and from the majority of the people who identify themselves as Christians, who consider themselves, of course, to be the body of Christ. And they are. They are a part of the body of Christ. But they are far away from their God to the extent where they could be considered to be quite dysfunctional as members of the body of Christ. And this can be quite confusing. This can become confusing, because when you have a huge congregation, just to give you an example, we have this circle that I am trying to describe, and out there on the perimeter, all around the perimeter of this circle, there are so many people, an abundance of people, it seems, and they are all bound together in their own little assemblies, in their own churches, in their own denominations and ministries, and in the unique beliefs that they have in comparison with other Christians who have different beliefs, and they don't agree with each other. And yet they are still members of the body of Christ, and there is this belief that these large assemblies are the real representations of the body of Christ, and yet they are quite far away from him, very much on the periphery, you know, on the peripheral. They are out there. And of course God makes use of them. And of course there is a lot of opportunity for there to be interaction, and the Holy Spirit of God can do great things within and through them. I don't want to say otherwise. But what happens is that we assume that that is the body of Christ as a whole. We make that assumption, forgetting that those who are closer to God are really closer to and are more a part of the functional body of Christ, and that those who are out there in the large numbers are somewhat dysfunctional parts of the body. But because they are of such great size, because there are so many of them, when they see you depart from their church, I need to say this again, when they see you depart from their church, from the large assembly, because you get sick and tired of them talking about things that simply are not true about your God, when you depart from them, then they will suggest that you are going away from the body of Christ. And this is promoted so much that when those of us get closer to our God, we get hit by this. You know, we just do. we get hit by this in a big way. People are always asking questions such as, well, where do you go to church? You know, where do you go to church? Where do you go and assemble with other believers? Well, you know, most of us would absolutely love to be a part, in fact, I would say all of us would like to be a part of a large assembly of believers like what you have. But when you are not telling the truth about forgiveness, about freedom from the law, about us having a living God who's not a God of stone like you seem to be advertising, you know, this is the issue, is that they will tell us that we are not really a part of the body of Christ, you know, and yet they are the ones who are further away from having a relationship with God. In comparison, they are further away from being a part of the body of Christ. And because we have a tendency, you know, people, we just have a tendency to use numbers of people as the way to evaluate these things, then this leads to a lot of deception and a lot of dysfunction and, of course, a lot of confusion. There is one body, and it is very functional. It really is. The body of Christ is very functional, headed by Him and Him alone. It's just that it is not really as big as people think it is, or as people would like to think that it is. It's not as big in a functional sense. All right. I mean, you certainly have a whole lot of people who would be classified as part of the body of Christ, but because of their extreme limited knowledge of who He is, and because people are so overwhelmed by believing so many things that just simply are not true, sure, they're a part of the body, but their lives are quite dysfunctional, and there just isn't a lot that the Lord can do with them. It's only those who are close to Him that are really a part of the functional body of Christ, and I want you to understand that this is an assembly of few people. And those of us who are a part of this smaller assembly are people who are somewhat disconnected from each other. As I explained in the previous message, it's hard to find people who know their God really well. It just is. It's not difficult for us to feel isolated and alone, especially when we have a hard time just finding people who understand the gospel in the context of sin, death, forgiveness, and the restoration of life. Just getting past that is an event. All right. So we are somewhat isolated from each other in many ways, but we are all still connected to the head who is Christ, who is our God. And as I was explaining in the previous message, it can be easy for us to get sick and tired of trying to connect with and trying to bond with Christians who just don't understand some of what we would consider to be the basics of the faith. And they refuse, absolutely refuse, with anger and violence sometimes, they just refuse to consider some of these issues. It can be easy for us to just simply step away from them and never be a part of their lives at all. But being isolated from one another, in the sense of the body of Christ, being isolated from one another, we have the drive, we have the persuasion, we have the motive to go out and continue to reach out to the immature believers in the faith so that they could perhaps be drawn closer, not to us, but that they can be drawn closer and closer to their God. And that this is an important reason why we are so well isolated, it seems, and why we find ourselves alone quite often, and why it is so difficult for us to find more than two or three other brothers or sisters in Christ Jesus who we can really experience some profound fellowship with or some meaningful fellowship with at all. It is good that you only have two or three, because if you had more, you would not go out to find more, to encourage others who are a part of the body of Christ but are part of the dysfunctional perimeter where there is an abundance, it seems, of Christians, and yet they are not part of the functional body of Christ. So when he says one body here in verse 4, there is one body, This has nothing to do with what people are usually talking about and thinking of. They're usually thinking of, well, it's my church and it's the other church. And if we go through all of the directories that we have within a regional area, then it's the assembly of all of these churches, that's the one body that he's talking about? I don't think so. I think he's talking about the one body in the context of the core of believers who have enough of an understanding that they know their God as a person, as a living God who is an active participant in their lives because they have been set free from the burden of sin and forgiveness. They are free from the burden of being dead or alive. They are resting in the inheritance that they have received in Christ Jesus instead of trying to live by repentance and obedience to some system of law that everybody seems to come up with in their own way, in their own contexts, according to their own denominational whatever. No, there really is a functional body of Christ at the core, at the center of this circle that I am describing, and that's the one that people need to be drawn to, not to try to figure out how to assemble the perimeter in a more unified way. That's not the objective, and yet that tends to be the focus that people have. How do we get the one body of Christ all working together? And you don't realize that that is not what God's doing. If you haven't noticed, it hasn't happened, right? You know, it hasn't happened ever since the founding of the church. The peripheral, the perimeter, all the major groups have never been assembled. They never will be. That's not what God is doing. He's drawing people to himself. Not trying to draw everybody to each other, but to draw people to himself. He is the head of the one body, and when people do not live in and rest in the truth that he has revealed so well, when they don't do that, they are disconnected. Disconnected, relatively speaking, from the body. From the one body of our God. So don't let people condemn you or ridicule you when you don't appear to be a part of some definitive assembly of some kind. Don't let people do that to you. Not if you know your God. If you know him on the basis of truth, then be at peace. Then live in peace. Live in the relational experience that you get to have with him. And allow him to direct you to go out and reach out to those who don't know him very well, for the purpose of drawing them closer to who he is, that they also may grow and mature and become more a functional part of the body of Christ. He goes on in verse 4, there is one body and one spirit. One spirit, and this is a real challenge for a lot of people, because when you are believing a lot of things that are not true, you're not going to like this, but I'll tell you that this is how it works. We have many other spirits who are a part of our lives. We do. There are many other spirits. There is the devil and all of his demons, and there are a lot of them. And they are active participants in the lives of unbelievers and believers, telling believers, those who have been saved, those who are across the line, they are within the perimeter of the circle that I've just described. And yet they are listening to demonic spirits telling them doctrines and teachings that are not consistent with what God has revealed. And I will explain this more in the next program.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937, or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net.